You can turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Now, why don't you get your Bibles out and let's stand and read the Word. We're going to read it in unison. If you don't have a King James Bible, you just listen. But if you got a King James Bible, you read with us. And if you don't have a King James Bible, look ashamed. I mean, you know. At any rate, pause at the punctuation, and we'll try to read together. Beginning at verse 63 through verse 71. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemy spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd bless your word to everyone that's come. Use your word to bring the knowledge of salvation to a lost soul, if there be one in the sound of our voice. Bless all our Sunday school classes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. We got three groups right here, and they're dealing. We got the crowd, the men, verse 63. And then we've got the, verse 66, the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes to their council. And then we have Jesus. Now, there was a big crowd that went out to pick up Jesus just in the early part of the chapter. They had the guards from the temple, and they had a crowd with them. You ever notice how a bully is? A bully is not necessarily tough. He wants you to think he's tough. He wants to shove people around. He wants to pick on weak people. And a lot of bullies, if they were by themselves, they wouldn't do anything. And if they thought they were going to get hurt, they wouldn't do anything. I used to tell my boys when they were going to school, I said, "I don't want you fighting all the time, but if you fight, I want you to hurt whoever you fight. If you got to bite him on the ear, you know, like Tyson, take his ear off." Now, the next time he comes to beat you up, he knows he's bigger and tougher and he can beat you up, but he doesn't want that pain. So he'll probably leave you alone. I really think that the modern way that we've got of nobody fights for anything, I'm not sure it's the best way. They used to take us and we fought and put great big gloves on us. Good night, they were that big, and you had to fight till you couldn't fight them more. Well, you made friends with the guy you were fighting with. And we settled a whole lot of problems that way. Of course, you got your block knocked off a few times too. But then there weren't as many people pushing people around. Bullies like a crowd. Bullies like an audience. And have you ever thought about what people do when they get into a crowd? They're like a pack of animals. They pick on weak people. Bullies don't go down and see some great big pro wrestler walking out of the gym and try to knock him over. No, they see some little old lady coming back with her pension check from the grocery store, and they want to knock her over. Well, here's a crowd. How many times have you been influenced by the crowd? This crowd went out to get Jesus. Now, let's say that some of them are sincere. They really believe the priests are right. They really believe Jesus is wrong. They really believe he's upsetting the apple cart. He's really messing things up for them. Well, there are fanatics like that. Now, think about some of these guys who go out and kill themselves to kill others. They're known as heroes among the Muslim world. They're going to have a great, great heaven for them because they went out and killed themselves in order to kill somebody else. Do you think they're not sincere? I think they're sincere. I think they believe what they're doing. That doesn't make them right, but it makes them really be believers in what they're doing. They think, this is worth my life. If I can kill so many Jews or so many Christians with my life, why, my life's valuable. Now, some of these people in this crowd are probably sincere. And some of them are just a bunch of bullies, a bunch of thugs. Now, I'm proud of San Antonio. I could work for the Chamber of Commerce. I love the weather. I think about 9 months out of the year, we have the greatest weather in the world. Have about 2 weeks of messy weather in the winter, and you got 3 months of hot weather in the summer. And I can handle that. Great, great place to live, you know. Wonderful, wonderful thing. But you know, we won 2 championships in basketball, and I don't remember any buses being burned. I don't remember police cars being turned over or whole neighborhoods being trashed and burned. Do you? But look at some of these soccer games. Look at, they win a championship in Chicago and burn half the city. I mean, or a whole area. Los Angeles the same way. When I was in Guatemala, every time it was, you didn't want to go to town on election day. You don't go to town on election day. It is not safe to go to town on election day. One day, they were having the election. They took, I don't know how many buses and just shot out all their tires. You had these buses blocking the streets. I mean, hundreds of them. And that's the way they get around. They don't all have cars. They get around on buses and transportation. But they went out and just blocked the city election day. One day, now Nelda's not in here. And of course, Dale isn't in here right now. But Dale always bought flowers for Nelda. Now, I don't know whether Nelda liked him or not, but Dale thought she did. So Dale was always buying flowers for Nelda. And we were in, I don't remember which town it was now, probably San Luis Potosí. And he said, I'm going to go down and get some flowers for Nelda. I said, okay. So we went together and went downtown. And all of a sudden, there was an explosion about a block away. We were down there close to the courthouse. They were blowing up the courthouse. I said, what is today? Election day. Let's get out of here. He did get his flowers before he left. You don't go to town on election day in some of these places. They're crazy. They're mobs. They're like a pack. They get this mentality, and people do things in a mob they wouldn't do otherwise. Now you got that mob, and they've taken Jesus from the garden of Gethsemane, and they brought him back down, and his disciples have separated from him. And the last one that was there was Peter. He was sitting out there with the crowd out there by the fire, warming himself until the cock crows early in the morning, and Jesus looks upon him, and then Peter goes off and weeps bitterly. And now then, here's this crowd, and they've got Jesus. It says in verse 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him, smote him. When they blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. They're beating him up. I mean, he's tied up. He's surrendered. He's not fighting. He doesn't have anybody to defend himself. He's not going to defend himself, and nobody around to defend him. And that's the way a crowd does. A bunch of bullies. A bunch of thugs. People who have that sort of pack mentality. Pick on the weak. Knock the little guy down. Now, my daddy did not like a bully. And I could fight all I wanted to. That was fine. Just as long as I fought somebody bigger than me. That made it a little rough. But my daddy did not want me picking on somebody smaller than me. And I could defend myself, but I better not beat up some small boy. But you know, some people don't think that way. They haven't been taught that way. You attack the weak. You get a hold of the weak and you push the weak around. Got that sort of pack mentality. Well, here they are. And they got the Son of God. God in the flesh. And he surrendered to them. He's even stopped those that were going to take the sword and fight for him. And here he is. And what do they do? How many times have you seen it? How many times have you been a part of it? It doesn't have to be just a bully beating on people. How about your big tongue? How many times have you just attacked someone when they're down? Kicked them when they're down? Told the stories on them like everybody else? They may be completely innocent, but oh boy, the stories have passed around. You couldn't change them. You couldn't stop them no matter what. We're like the animals in some cases. We like the pack mentality. And it's a shame, but an awful lot of people have been hurt in life because somebody's following the crowd. Somebody's going along with the crowd. Somebody's pushing on somebody weak. Somebody's trying to push somebody's nose in the ground. Here they are. Here they are. This same crowd. They're human beings in a pack. And they've got somebody that's despised by their leaders. He's despised. He's hated by them. They've been planning on how they could get him for I don't know how long. He tells them up there in the garden, I was with you every day in the temple. What are you coming out against me now? It was darkness and it was nighttime and it was their time. It was time for meanness. It was time they could get away with it. They were afraid to attack Jesus in front of the multitudes. Why, the multitudes would have rose up. They wouldn't have put up with it. And here they are. They mocked him. You ever been a part of any mocking? Probably. Your sister, your brother, somebody in your family, somebody down the road, somebody from a different race, somebody with a different lifestyle. They mocked him. And they smote him. Hey, we got somebody here can't fight back. Let's hit him. And so they hit the Lord. Then they blindfolded him. And they say, prophesy who it is that hits you. And then they just begin to beat on him. And he got beat up. He's going to get beat up several times. This is the religious crowd. This isn't Pilate or Herod or Rome. These are the guards and the people that are following the chief priests. Billy was in Mexico preaching the gospel. They were playing a little soccer in the afternoon and he kicked the soccer. Somebody kicked the soccer ball over a fence. He went over to get it. And a couple of ladies there didn't want him coming in to get that soccer ball because he was a missionary, because he was preaching in the streets, and they knew who he was. I don't know who beat him up. Billy didn't hit him. But Billy was brought up for several years on charges because those two very religious ladies went down and swore out a complaint that Billy had jumped over their yard, went in and beat them up. And they were beat up. Now, were they so dedicated that they went and got somebody to beat them up so they would have the goods when they came down? Took him a couple of years. He had to report to the prison every other Friday. Went through lawyer's fees and whatever. It was a lie. It was a lie. Talk about some discouraging times. People get a chance to get you, they'll get you. You think it's going to get better in this world today? It's just now starting to get bad. It's going to get worse. It may cost you to be a Christian one day. It doesn't cost you very much right now. A little bit of face. Somebody might make a little fun of you. You might not actually get a promotion that you think you want. But we're not anybody being beat up in the streets because they're a Christian right here. It is happening around the world. Right now, Christians are being killed in this world simply because they belong to Jesus Christ. They hit him and they said, prophesy to us, you're a great prophet. So they're making fun of him as a prophet. Prophesy to us. Who is it that hit you? We don't get anything out of his mouth. Nothing out of his mouth. And they struck him in the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And it says in verse 65, and many other things blasphemously spake they against him. They're doing everything they can to put him down, to discourage him, to defeat him. Here's the pack, and they've got a tied up, wounded one in the midst, and they're taking out their ugliness, their hate, their venom against him. Doesn't make us look very good, does it? Doesn't make humanity look much better than animals, does it? Got that pack mentality. It's an amazing thing how anybody could hate Jesus. You know? I mean, how do you hate someone who's doing right? But it happens every day. It happens every day. Somebody doesn't go along with the crowd. Somebody who's not gonna drink or not gonna rob or steal or with their particular crowd they're with. Well, the pack will turn on them because you got this pack mentality in us. It's sinful. It's wicked. Have you ever seen an animal that's jealous of another animal? How in the world they be jealous? But they are. One animal's jealous of another animal. One cow push the other one out of the way to get the food. One cat will reach up and shake at the other cat. I had a great big dog. called him Big Red, like the soda pop Big Red. He was a red Doberman. And he was a mean dog. And I got a new dog, a big shepherd. Your son gave him to me. Beautiful dog. But that young dog had to learn right away that Big Red was boss. Big Red taught him real quick. You know how he taught him. But then Big Red got old. And the other dog taught him. And then he took the ascendancy. You and I shouldn't be acting like that. We ought to think of that as animal behavior. We ought to recognize that we ought to have a higher way of living and a better way of treating even our enemies. We don't want to treat our enemies like the enemies of Jesus treated him. We don't want to be a part of that crowd. But there you got your pack mentality. Verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, they picked him up at night, probably around midnight. This group of guards and bullies and thugs and whoever was in this crowd that was there holding Jesus in the night, doing their meanness to him while they could. Comes morning, now the big boys, I mean the leaders of the nation of Israel. This is a Sanhedrin. This is made up of the elders and the leaders of the whole nation. The chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. They get together and bring him into their council. Where were these guys when they're out there beating him up? They probably told him to do it. Or they let him know nothing's going to happen to you if it takes place. What kind of religion have you got? Does it make any difference in the way you live? These fellows are very religious. These fellows know their Bibles. These fellows are the experts of the land. These people are the judges of the nation of Israel. They make laws and rules for everybody else to follow. And they bring him into their council after he's been abused all night long by their guards and the people that are following them. And ask him a question. Art thou the Christ? Art thou the Christ? Now let me tell you, that is the biggest question you'll ever answer. And you gotta answer it. Everybody makes a decision. Jesus the Christ, or is he not the Christ? You see, you can't have it both ways. You can say, Jesus is a great teacher, wonderful teacher. Oh, we love his teaching. My, his great teaching just elevates all of mankind. One of the greatest teachers that ever lived. But he's not really God. He's not really Christ. He's not really the only Savior of the world. He's not really the way out of hell. On the way into heaven. If he's not, he's one of the greatest liars that ever lived. One of the greatest deceivers that ever walked the face of the earth. This book I have in my hands 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone says it is the Word of God. Is it the Word of God or is it not? You got a choice to make. You can claim it to be the Word of God or you can reject it. I can respect your decision either way you make it. But I don't respect saying, well, part of it's the Word of God and part of it's not. I believe what I want to believe, and what I don't like, I won't believe. I believe it when it says this, but I won't believe it when it says that. I had a lady one time tell me I was dealing with him on a family situation, and I read in the Bible how a wife is supposed to treat her husband. I would never obey any man. I said, okay, disobey God. You're going to have to disobey God. Well, we're in modern times. The Bible is more up to date than your newspaper. You think you've surpassed the Bible. You think that you're ahead of the Bible. You think you're smarter than the fellows that wrote the Bible. You're so dumb. You haven't got enough brains to get out of the rain. It's the Word of God. It's either the Word of God or take the book and consider it a nice little novel and throw it in the trash. Is it the Word of God? You have to make decisions. Now, we don't like the decisions. You say, well, I'm not going to make a decision. Well, you just made one when you did that. When you said, I'm not going to choose, you chose. You chose it's not the Word of God. Because you see, your problem is, if it's the Word of God, you got to obey it. You got to pay attention to it. If it says something, you got to believe it. I'm not at liberty to make up my own doctrine and make up my own ways and make up my own ideas and make up my own church. I'm not at liberty to do that. I have a Bible. It is my authority. And by the way, it's not the ancient Greek, the original Greek, which nobody's ever seen. Nobody alive has ever seen an original Greek text. Nobody. The oldest of us has seen copies of copies of copies of copies of copies of original. So this is the Word of God as originally given? That means nothing. Is it the Word of God as it is in your hand? That means something. Is it an authority that you have to believe? See, there are decisions that you have to make, and you can't get out of making them by saying, no, it's not the Word of God. Okay, you made a decision. Now they're coming to Him. Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? That's an interesting thought. Well, can we follow Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad too? Well, it sounds very ecumenical. It sounds very tolerant, doesn't it? I mean, how could you be so exclusive? Jesus only. Man, that's exclusive. If you have Jesus, you go to heaven. If you don't have Jesus, you go to hell. Well, there's a lot of people who don't have Jesus. You figured that out? You're making a very exclusive statement. What will you do with Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? Who are you, Jesus? Are you the Christ? They wanted him to confess it. Now, notice the way he answers them. Two or three things here, I think, real good. Verse 67, if I tell you, you will not believe. His first statement to them is, if I were to tell you I'm the Christ, wouldn't change you, wouldn't help you at all. If I were to tell you, yes, I'm the Christ, you will not believe it. And in fact, what are they going to do when he actually makes the statement down here a little further on? They're going to send him away to die. Why do they have to send him away to die? Because under the Roman government, the Jews did not have the power of capital punishment. They couldn't take him out and stone him. They couldn't take him out and kill him. Oh, they could punish him, but they couldn't do this. And they wanted him dead. He said, if I tell you, you will not believe. Now, there's a whole lot of people in the world that are just like that. If I tell you, you will not believe. I've knocked on a lot of doors. I've sat in a lot of houses. I've sat there till several hours into the night, 11 o'clock at night, 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And people just stubbornly go right ahead. No, I want my drinking. I want my smoking. I want my sex. I want my sin. I want my whatever. I will not follow Jesus Christ. He says to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. They are not going to believe no matter what he does. If he performed a miracle, you know, it's hard for me to believe that Malchus will not be with us in heaven. That's the servant of the high priest that Peter took the sword and cut his ear off. He was aiming for his head. He wanted to take the whole thing off. Peter was out to kill him. But he cut that ear, and Jesus just reached it over and puts it back. I think I'd have to be a believer. I mean, I never seen nothing like that before. I think I'd have to be. But he says, if I tell you, if he'd have performed a miracle in their presence, they still were not going to believe. Now notice something else he says to them. He said, if I also ask you, you will not answer me. They're asking questions of him. He's saying, if I ask you a question, you won't give me the right answer. You won't answer me. He is in a kangaroo court that is not for him. He has no way to win. There's no way he's coming out of this. And he knows it. If I ask you, you will not answer me. Now, most of us are not in situations like that. Well, a few of us may have been a time or two. I mean, you just had a chance of winning. I mean, you were down. You were down for the count, and there was no way you were going to come out of that one. He's going to pay your thing. Sort of like corporation court. You get a ticket and you go to corporation court, forget it. Everybody loses in corporation court. Almost all very guilty. Boom! You might as well go past that. You get your lawyer and go past that. You might get lucky if the policeman decides not to show up. Otherwise, you just lost. He said, if I ask you, you won't answer me. If I tell you, you won't believe me. If I ask you, you won't answer me. And notice what else he said. Nor let me go. You will not let me go. You're not going to believe me. You're not going to answer me. And you're not going to let me go. You reckon he knew what he was in for? I think he knew what he was in for. Now, then he makes a statement, verse 69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Wow. You know how big that is? He's saying, after this, I'm going to be sitting on the right hand of the power of Almighty God. What is that saying? That's claiming to be who he said he was. That's claiming to be who they asked for. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Actually, about the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 1 are some of the most beautiful in all the Word of God. Just absolutely beautiful. I'll just read it all to you, but just the main part of 3 is what I'm wanting to talk about. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Isn't that what he said he was going to do? Amen. Isn't that what he says he did? He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the only Savior. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. Amen. Now that doesn't sound too good to some of your friends. Doesn't sound too good to the national media who won't tolerance. Well, I'm tolerant. I'm tolerant of all sorts of things. But that doesn't mean they're right, and I have to say they're right. Everybody's not right. Everybody may have a right to their own opinion, but that doesn't make everybody right in their opinion. I have a right to my opinion as much as you have a right to your opinion. God and Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. You can't say that. You mean you're excluding all the Buddhists and all the Muslims and all the Jews? Yeah, I am. If that Buddhist doesn't repent of his sins and call upon Jesus and trust him for salvation, that Buddhist's going to go to hell. He may be the best Buddhist in the world. And you can take your religion. I had religion 10 years before I got saved. I was a church member 10 years before I got saved. But when God saved me, he changed me, and I would have been a lost church member. Told a lady one time that her pastor might be lost. Oh, that offended her something terrible. She said, my pastor never taught me this about Jesus. I said, maybe your pastor doesn't know it. Most preachers are going to hell. You haven't figured that out? There are a lot of preachers out here. They're not all preaching the truth. They're not all even honest. They're a bunch of charlatans and quacks and snake oil salesmen out there that are quoting the Bible for money, monetary gain. That's their only purpose. There's just one name. That's Jesus Christ. There's just one Savior. That's Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm trusting Mary. Mary can't help you. Mary couldn't help herself. Mary had to believe on the Son just like you have to believe on the Son. Amen. Mary had to have her sins forgiven just like you have to have your sins forgiven. I'm not bad-mouthing Mary. I think Mary was a virtuous, wonderful woman. Privileged woman. But she was a sinner in need of a Savior. And she's not the mediatrix. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, you say that I am. And that's the way he phrased it several times. In one place, he says, I am. And we don't know what all was said. This didn't take place in the few minutes it takes to read this. You say that I am. Now, what did they judge that to mean? And they said, what need we any further witnesses? We ourselves have heard of his own mouth. See, they consider him being blasphemous, claiming to be God when he's not God, claiming to be the Christ when he's not the Christ, claiming to be the King of Israel when he's not the King of Israel. See, they don't believe him. Could any of them been sincere? Yeah. Sure they could. They could have been absolutely unbelievers that were just sincere. There are a lot of sincere people in this world that are sincerely wrong. How many sincere people have done absolute terrible things? Sincerely believe they're doing what's right. Some of these crazy people say, God told me. God told me to kill all these women. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. Sincerity? Sincerity won't save you. You need the blood of Jesus Christ to save you. Now, something you need to think about. These men are wrestling with a decision. They made the wrong one. Are you the Christ? You say, I am. From here on in, you're going to see me on the right. He didn't say you're going to see me. I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of the power of God Almighty. That's where I'm going to be. And they knew exactly what he was saying. Wasn't any doubt in any of their mind. We've all heard him. Let's condemn him. But you see, they in a council are making a decision you individually have to make. Every one of us. I had to come to a place one day to decide, is this the Word of God? I could choose either way. Is Jesus the only Savior? I could choose either way. There are a lot of people out there that have chosen different. Is he the only Savior? He claims to be. The Bible says so, the New Testament. People say they believe the Bible and they want to follow the Bible, but they don't follow the Bible. They're not willing to let the Bible speak for itself. They got to change the Bible where they don't like it. You know why there's so many versions of the Bible in English out there? It's not because everybody's hunting for the truth. It's because doctrinal men are trying to change certain verses. That's the truth. And I read more of them than you have, probably. I probably own more of them than you have. They don't like a certain verse. They don't like a certain doctrine. They don't like a certain thing. They change it. And you can look at who translated the Bible and see their doctrine. What is it you don't like? You don't like the idea that that's the Word of God and you need to be in obedience to it? No, we don't like that. We want to be our own little God. Everybody wants to be John Wayne. I do what I please. I'm a man. Mr. America. Nobody tells me what to do but your wife. Someone said the man's the head, the wife's the neck. She turns the head. A lot of truth to that. Well, if I make her sad, who then makes me glad? You got a problem. Is the Bible the Word of God? If it is, follow it. Accept the things that are there. Some of them you don't like. There are things in this book I don't like. I don't like them. They don't fit my mind. I wish God had said it a different way. But I'm not God. I didn't write the book. All I do is read it and believe it. But I do believe it's the Word of God. Amen. And I believe every bit of it's true. Amen. And I believe any part of it that I don't understand is my own fault that I don't understand it. It's the Word of God. Now you make a choice on that. That if you once choose that the Bible's the Word of God, then you're going to come to the point where you have to choose, is Jesus the only Savior of the world? The one mediator between God and men. Because that's what it claims. That's what the book teaches. The book doesn't teach all roads lead to Rome. The book doesn't teach everybody's going to heaven that's sincere. The book doesn't teach there is no hell, all is well. That's not what the book teaches. The book teaches there's a heaven and a hell and most people are going to hell. That's what the book teaches. You say, I don't like it. I don't like it either, to tell you the truth. I'd like it a whole lot better if there were no hell, but I'm not God. I didn't make the thing. He knows better than I do, and he's a loving God as well as a just God. But once I've made that choice, God has spoken. Then what does God say? Now that I'm down to the choice of these high priests and scribes and the elders of the nation of Israel, art thou the Christ? I'm going to be sitting on the right hand of God real quick. Right hand of the power of God real quick. Are you really the Christ? You say I am. Well, we don't need any further witnesses than that. He didn't deny it. He claimed it. Now then, what are you going to do with that statement? Well, see, that comes down to you. What are you going to do with this statement? How are you going to answer this question? Is Jesus the Christ? You see, Jesus is the name. Christ is the title. Messiah is the title. Lord's the title. Jesus is the name. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord's not his name. And Christ is not his name. Jesus is the name. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. It's Jesus. And he's the Messiah. He's the Savior. What have you done with Jesus here today? Just this crowd right here. What have you done with Jesus? Have you said, yes, He is the Christ, the only Savior of the world, and I submit to Him?
Amen.
If you haven't, you're not straddling the fence to make a decision. You're on the wrong side of the fence. You have to choose Jesus. It comes down to a point where you say, yes or no, I will or I won't. Perlene and I, almost 49 years ago, walked up before a Methodist preacher in Seguin, Texas. And he said, Lendell Kincaid, will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? I said, I do. And he turns to her and he says, Verlene, will you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? She says, well, I'm thinking about it. No. You think she'd been better off, huh? That's the most blessed woman I know. If she didn't make the right choice, we wouldn't be married. That's the way it is with Jesus. Very simply, the Son of God went to the cross of Calvary, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and He said He'll take you. Wicked as you are, selfish as you are, stubborn and stupid as you are, He'll take you. Now the choice is yours. Will you take Christ as your Savior? Will you take Him as the only Savior of the world? The only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not the church. The church can't save you. There are a lot of people in America that think going to church is going to save them. They're going to have a rude awakening. The church has never saved anybody and cannot save, does not have the power to save. Getting little stars by your name for going to Sunday school on a regular basis. Giving a tithe of your money or giving 90% of your money will not forgive your sins or save your soul. God has made a way that only one, Jesus Christ, can save. If you believe that, you're in the minority. You're not in the majority even of Christians, so-called Christians. The majority of so-called Christians are not even saved. Here are these religious people, very great religious people, leaders of their nation, renowned, famous, scholars, honored. But they got to make a choice. And almost all of them, we hear of two of them, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, that didn't go along. In fact, they go get the body of Jesus after He's crucified and bury Him in their tomb, take care of Him, these rich men. These leaders. But the vote of the Sanhedrin was, yes, He's a blasphemer. He's not telling the truth. He is not the Christ. They made their decision. They made their decision. Now, what decision have you made concerning the Christ? Is He really your Lord? You say, well, I'm born again. I'm asking you another question now. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? I mean, is He boss? Is He king of your life? If He's not, then you're living a miserable life. Now, I am basically an optimist. I have a happy life most every day. If you're a pessimist, I really feel sorry for you because you have a miserable life most every day. It's not that you're more miserable than I am. It's just the way you look at it. I personally believe if you are a Bible believer, and you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, everything else doesn't really matter. And should not be dragging you down every day. Have you made the right decision on this Bible? Have you made the right decision about the Christ? Have you got that part settled? My, you are in one great exclusive club. Do you realize? Do you realize where you sit? Do you realize the blessings God has laid upon you? Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Your soul is safe. You're headed for heaven.
Amen.
You're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. You're going to look like Him. 33 in a year, half-year-old male. Perfect. Wow. Remember over in Revelation? Old John, he falls down and bows to this guy and says, get up, I'm an angel. Get up, I'm like you. Get up, I was one of the prophets. Get up, I'm one of your brethren. These guys look so much like Jesus, John couldn't tell them apart. That's your future. What are you walking around with a sad face because you got a bad day today? Who cares? God didn't put you down here so you could have a happy, happy, happy time and never have any troubles. Have you figured that out yet? Yeah, you ought to have. Live a little while. You come into this world screaming and crying, you go out the same way. You come in with nothing, you're going to go out the same way. How much did Howard Hughes leave? He left it all. He didn't carry any of it with him. You're not going to carry any of it with you either. Think of where you sit. The greatest question of all history is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Absolute greatest question of all history. What will you do with Jesus Christ? These men had to make that choice. They chose wrong. I chose right. Amen. You chose right. Are you saved here today?
Amen.
All of that stupid pack mentality that you live by, been forgiven. All of that lustful, wicked, selfish pleasure you live by, been forgiven. All of that stupid, foolish pride, been forgiven.
Amen.
Forgiven. And you know, my Bible tells me He removes it as far as the east is from the west. East and west don't meet. Keep going east, you can keep going east all your life. Just keep going east. Keep going west, you can go west all your life. He removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. And it says He buried them in the depths of the sea. It says your sins are to be remembered against you no more. That one choice. The most important choice anybody ever made. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that choice. And maybe the Holy Spirit of God's talking to your heart right now saying, you need this. I remember God talking to me 46 years ago. I'm sitting way back at the back of the auditorium. It was an auditorium about 500 people. And the Lord's telling me, you need this. This is for you. There's nobody else in this room, just you. You need this. And I did.
Amen.
I didn't get it settled that morning, but that night I did. And you know what? He changed my life. Made me a different husband. Made me a different father. Made me a different person. Gave me direction in my life. I wouldn't go back before the first day of September 1957 for anything in the world. I got saved. I was born again. And my life got changed. And because of that, some of your lives have been changed. Wow.
Amen.
What will you do with the Christ? Are you really the Christ? Yes. You're going to see me at the right hand of the power of God. That's where I'm going to be. And He tells us over in Hebrews that's exactly where He is. Same thing. What that statement made. Same thing. What will you do with Jesus? Now, that same question is being answered today. Why is it so important today? You see all these bombs blowing up everywhere? You think if we pull out of Iraq in 6 months or years' time, that's going to stop? It's not going to stop. You think that if Israel will just treat them nice, it's going to stop? It's not going to stop. This world is going to get worse and worse, and there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be death and disease and trouble and fighting and wars, and the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming back for His church. And if you're saved, you're going to go out. If you're not... And I like the books Left Behind. I really do. I think they got a great... They give a good testimony on how to get saved. But my Bible tells me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you heard the Word of God right now, you're not going to believe it. You're going to believe a lie if you don't go out with this group. That's one problem I have with them. A whole lot of people that have heard the gospel, they're not going to get a second chance. They're going to believe the Antichrist is the Christ. And they're going to be damned. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's just as plain as the nose on your face. You saved today? You are so blessed you ought to never have a bad day.
Amen.
What are you doing feeling so sorry for yourself because you got a bad day? You say, I'm dying of cancer. Who cares? You're going to heaven.
Amen.
You're not going to hell. You say, well, I've got all these problems. Well, everybody's got problems. You were put in this life to have problems. And to answer them with faith. That's what you do. You've made the greatest decision of eternity. You are now a part of an exclusive club, a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe Christ is the King.
Amen.
King of the Jews and King of the world. I believe Christ is coming back. Amen. I believe Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world.
Amen.
And you better believe on Him and take Him as your Savior. These guys had a chance to make a decision. They made the wrong one. Don't you follow them. Lord bless you.